As we turn to what we have to speak about today, I ask if you all would please join me on your feet as we look. Do I have notes? Do I have notes? We're going to look today at the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua, if you look at wood with me, Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And when you find it, just please say amen. We're going to read those two verses together. Praise the Lord. Let us read together. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to hear a message today from the sermon subject, Divine Turbulence. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may have your seats. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the sound I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks and the sound of his voice so sweet that the birds, they're singing, and the melody that he speaks to me, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other has ever known. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, once again, we come today from the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. However, I also want to share with you, and you will please forgive me for not bringing all of my notes with me, but I will give you this from the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. The Word of God says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And also this from the New Testament book of Romans at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This is what the scripture says. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And will I add, for eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, hasn't even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Also, I want to share this with you, if you can. I'll just pen this down with your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. The word of God comes to us there and says, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's my joy to be here with you. Let us celebrate the Christ who has concerned himself with us to the degree that he has assigned himself a death on an old rugged cross so that we might have a right to the tree of life. I have to say that this is the good news, that a sovereign God who covenants with the people whom he has created to deliver them from the snare and the hand of their enemies, that's good news. That's good news. And so I am his humble servant, and I'm here to tell you what the good Lord has done for you and for me. Is that okay, everybody? Get y'all to loosen up a little bit. Move to the edge of your seats. Y'all get me all concerned. You know, when folks get quiet, you don't get quiet on me here. We've got good news today. The news from the battlefield is that we're not winning. We've already won. We are not in a process of winning. Is that okay for you? Because I know that I know that you're dealing with the ins and outs, the ups and the downs and all these things. But let me come and let you know the news from the battlefield is that we've already won. And to add to this, let me just let you know that these are just bumps. Is that all right? That these are just bumps. On one trip to New York City, when I was employed by X Corporation, had to travel up to do some training, and the air that we were flying through was bumpy. And I'll see y'all think about regular bumps, okay? What's wrong with Michael today? The air that we were traveling through was bumpy. And so what I want to tell you is that it took some psychological gymnastics for me to not go rush to the exit. Y'all never experienced this before. Okay. So it took some doing for me to stay on the plane. At some point you have to decide whether or not I'm going down with this thing. But I had to decide, and I had to come to some point of reconciling the God that we serve to the turbulence that we face in life. Is that all right? The God that we serve to the lumps and the bumps. And so I sat in my seat and the knees were knocking the whole thing. But I had to sort of get this, that this turbulence that I was facing in life was only meant to make me strong. Oh, Jesus. It's time for us to take, let's everybody go to the car right now. We're not going to, I have nothing more to say. Okay. Let's just ruminate on that for another week. That the turbulence that we face in life has only been allowed to come so that we would be stronger, so that we be fit for the next flight and for the next flight and for the next flight and for the next flight. And then when someone else sat back beside you during the turbulence, you'd say, it's all right, baby. These is just bumps. let's go. In the 8th chapter of the book of Joshua, we find the children of Israel just after a valley experience. Is that all right? Okay. Can I add this? That God knows what's in the valley. And before going back to battle the enemy, it is, as it might be called, an in-between place. Valleys are in-between places. Right? I feel like we all know something about the between place. My between place is nothing like your between place. There's things that I experienced during my in-between place, which are unlike what you experience in your in-between place. But we all have some valley experiences in our lives. Am I right about it? You don't go through this. You don't live this. You don't walk. If there's not a single person in this room that can say that they never had trouble in their life. All of us have experienced some turbulence. I want to say this to you. This is interesting. I was on a flight to Las Vegas years ago. And while we were on the flight, the captain came over the loudspeaker. I don't know why he has to say this to us ground dwellers. He says, and I'm only guessing. Okay, I might be wrong. Everyone, get back into your seats. We're going to experience some turbulence. Strap back into your seats. But we'll be fine. Do you know that turbulence only happens when you're going up? No, it doesn't. Turbulence happens whenever there's wind shear. One wind will contradict the other wind. And so whether going up or down, you can experience turbulence. I want to say that all my turbulence is upward bound. I want to say that as I rise to new levels in Christ, I face turbulence. And the only way that I know that I've actually gone to a new level of Christ is that I've experienced some turbulence. That's Pauline. That's Pauline. So Paul says that there's an open and effectual door before me, but there are many adversaries. We face adversaries. We face adversity in order to arrive at new levels. In order to get to where we hope to be, where we long to be, where God has designed for us to be, we go through difficulties. In the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua at verse 25, Joshua questioned Achan of the tribe of Judah why he had troubled Israel. Y'all recall this prayerfully in your studies of the book of Joshua. Then he informed Achan that the Lord would trouble him. Y'all know what this was, and Pastor Don spoke to us last week in regard to the victory of Israel over Jericho. He reminded us that when the walls of Jericho fell down, they didn't fall in, but that they fell out. Just after Jericho, the Israelites were excited. They knew that the God of all creation was on their side. Y'all have to understand this. And when we go through victory, we haven't overcome. We haven't won because of our own ability. We've overcome because of the ability of the God that we serve. God instructed Israel when they were going into their next battle not to touch anything. Don't take anything. This next battle that you fight, go in, you'll decimate the people, leave out with nothing. However, instead of doing what God had instructed them to do, Israel sinned. And Joshua had to go through Israel in order to find out where the sin was. We're still there. But we need to talk about this, that before you can go to the next level, you got to address the sin within. Is that all right? You got to, in order to make the trip, you've got to jettison some stuff. Are y'all here with me? Paul says it this way, that we ought to lay aside every, right, that doth so easily beset us. Why? Because Paul is concerned, God is concerned, Christ is concerned that our travel be as efficient as possible. But if along the way we are carrying some excess baggage of sin, we are advised to jettison it in order that your travel be successful. Am I talking to anybody right here? Jesus Christ says it this way, that we should take his yoke upon us and learn of him, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In contrast to the burden of sin that we've been carrying, Christ says, take that off and put my yoke upon you and learn of me. What Christ is doing, and I'm sorry, we have to stop and go through here. What Christ is saying is I'm the older and I'm the wiser ox, but I'm willing to be yoked up with you so you can learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and the burden is light. Christ is actually saying is, I'm taking the weight. You get to follow and be a yoke. Oh man, you get to. Do y'all realize that we're yoked up with Christ? That when you're going through the hardships, and we call them the vicissitudes of life, don't you worry about it, because Christ is with you. When troubles come your way, don't worry about it. There's a God in heaven who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. We're yoke fellows with Jesus Christ. This is wonderful. Why is it so easy? Listen, let me inform you, because we're still talking about this. We're still talking about this topic, God, divine turbulence, right? But can I tell you this, that your life, your difficulties, your hardships with Christ, if it's hard right now, if it's difficult right now, imagine what your hardship would be like without Jesus. You can hardly lay down to sleep at night, but imagine if you didn't have Christ. You can barely speak to her anymore. But imagine if you didn't have Christ. You can barely speak to him anymore. But imagine if you didn't have Jesus. You can barely even show up to the job because of the difficulties on the job. But I wonder what your life would be like if you were not saved.
We have this trouble and we're in Christ. But what would your life be like if you were outside of Christ? We're still talking about divine. Somebody just, Pastor Rogers, these is just bumps. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was raised in a house where language kind of like just, we just said stuff, right? We just said, right? We just got it out there. Hopefully you can understand me, right? What would you like be life without Christ? So when I say these is just bumps, I hope y'all okay with me. What I mean is these are just bumps. But I've got to tell myself every once in a while that these are just bumps. I'm still on the way. These are just bumps. Christ is in the ship with me. Joshua questioned Achan, the tribe of Judah, why he had troubled Israel. Then he informed Achan that the Lord would trouble him. And I wonder if we remember about how the walls of Jericho fell down. If you do, then jot this down. Achan and the sin in the camp troubled Israel. Then they came to Ai. Joshua chapter 7, verse 25 says this, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I want to try and help us out here, and I'll use my preaching license to do it. At every level, you will find new devils. At every level. We're facing it today, my brothers and my sister, in this culture, in this world that we live in. We're facing devils at every level. But we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We sung this as children. We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. See, you know what divine turbulence is? As we move from grace to grace, as we move from glory to glory, as we move from faith to faith and from altitude to altitude in Christ, there is turbulence. And so we find the children of Israel about to put trouble behind them. And I'm so glad that trouble just don't last always. It just doesn't. As my daughter Jada told us several years ago, when she looked into our refrigerator, seeing our half gallon of milk there, because that's what we could buy. Jada looked at the milk and she said, Papa, the milk is past its expiration date. And I said, oh, Jesus, she's just preaching a message to me right now. Our trouble has an expiration date. This turbulence has an expiration date. This trouble that you're facing has a beginning and a definite end. Listen, this is what Jesus Christ told the disciples, and I'm way past my notes here. Jesus Christ told the disciples, because there was a woman on the other side, because there was a man in the Gadarenes who needed to be freed from devils. Jesus Christ told the disciples after the feeding of the 5,000, with two fish and five loaves of bread. Y'all there with me, right? We all saved in here, right? Y'all read the Bible, Christian 101, right? After this, Jesus told the disciples, let's go on over to the other side. Jesus presupposed that the winds and the waves would happen. So that when a weather prognosticator comes to him and tells him, Master, the tempest is raging, Jesus already knew it. That's okay, because y'all took it like just a Bible story, right? I said, oh, these is just bumps. No, these are not just bumps. No, this is not just a story. This really happened to a real set of people who traveled on a very real sea, who felt real waves. They were concerned for their life and for their health, as we are. But I just stop over here. Can I just let y'all know this really fast? That God knew that already. He knew about the divorce. He knew about the foreclosure. He knew about the separation. He knew about the unemployment. Are we helping anybody in here? He knew about the homelessness, the joblessness, the closelessness, the friendlessness. He knew all of this. And guess what? These are just bumps. Because before you go to heaven, you've got to experience some of this. What's it? I'm past my notes. I'm about to stop. What's it going to take in your life for you to be more like Christ? What's it going to take in your life for you to be changed, to be rearranged, to be brought up, to be brought in, to be brought out? It's going to take some going down. It's going to take some falling down. It's going to take some crying. It's going to take some tears at night. It's going to take some time. I just don't know what to say right now, but God is with me. In the midst of it all, I've got to go through some stuff. What does Paul mean when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life I now live, I live by the faith of him that loved me and gave himself with me. Paul admitting to the fact that I had to die in order to be like. Becoming more like Christ means that you have to die every single day. You got to, and if you arrive at the end of the day and you have something and you hasn't been killed, you're not being made more like Christ. Are you serious, Rogers? Are you serious? I came to this conclusion, this brilliant conclusion, because I have a large brain inside my head. Listen. That God is trying to kill me. That God is trying to kill me. Right? And he's very good at putting the flesh to death. I'm on the We were talking about divine turbulence, right? In order for you to go to the next city, and this is to Joshua and the children of Israel, you got to kill that sin. You got to cut it off. And listen, for Joshua and the children of Israel, Achan and his descendants are a family member. And that stuff that you're in right now, you have begun to love it. You're used to it. You've been walking with it for 20, 30, 40 years by now. It's a part of you. And what God is saying is that I want to take you to another level. You got to face this turbulence. Most of us love sin, and we prefer a smooth ride with no turbulence.
I'm going to stop because
I'm talking to me so much. I'm talking to me so much. I'm just, why in the world haven't you faced hardships? Because I'm comfortable right here. And as long as I can remain on the smooth seas of arrogance against my mother, everything will be fine. As long as I can treat my neighbor despitefully and not have to face any turbulence of change, I'm fine. As long as I can watch what I want to watch on, yeah, I'm fine. I don't have to worry about facing any turbulence at all. I don't have to worry about going to a new level in Christ. I don't have to worry about what God is trying to do with me. All I want is smooth seas. All I want is no bumps. All I want is no contradiction. All I want is no tribulation. Oh, and why I came here. Jesus Christ says, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, don't worry about it. Isn't that all right? See, what's wonderful is that I got to face some turbulence. What's wonderful is that if I'm going to be like Christ, if I'm going to walk like Christ, if I'm going to think like Christ, that Christ himself has already prayed for me. Y'all remember this? Y'all remember this? Jesus Christ told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Don't worry about that. Do you know what the sifting process in your life is? Your sifting is your turbulence. Hopefully, while God is winnowing you out, the cream will rise to the top. And if you knew it right, Peter should have been saying, sift me, 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 sift me right now. Because what in the sifting process, all of that garbage will fall off. And listen, because we love it so much, we need somebody to sift us. Because we will refuse to take it off on our own. So we should be pleased for the fact that God is using whatever he can in his creation to make us more like Christ. I want to be more like him. I want to think like Christ. And so it's so pleasing to find out that Paul is of the understanding, that our brother Paul is of the understanding. What do we see, read over there? Are y'all okay with me? At Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says this, for I reckon that the sufferings, y'all okay? Because we've already associated, we've already metaphorically equated the sufferings of this life with the turbulence of this life. You okay with this? Right? And so what Paul says is that, for I reckon, at Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so that we are suffering, but this suffering cannot compare at all to the glory that God is revealing. This winnowing process, this tribulation process, has the tendency to bring out the glory in God, of God. Is that what Paul's saying? Paul is saying God is working out in your trouble glory to God. It might not look really good to you, but the glory shouldn't be to you to begin with. Amen. Listen. You never even thought about the tribulation when you're coming out of the building and you just been let go. This is to the glory of God. This is the glory. No, it's not. This is just, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to feed the kids? But you never realize that unemployment could be to the glory of God. You never really understood that diabetes could be to the glory of God. You never understood that cancer could be to the glory of God. But Paul goes back and he says, for we know. It's the collective understanding. It's our mutual consensus as believers. Is that all right? It's our combined knowledge as believers in the God who is control of everything. That's why it's important when you read that verse to get the first part. For we know. Don't just go to all things, because that don't matter unless you've decided it. Unless you've assented to what we all as Christians should understand. We know, as opposed to what they know. We know, as opposed to what they think. They think cancer is the most horrible thing in the world. What if it's to the glory of God? Give me cancer right now. We got to be. How else can Christ go to a cross? How else can he be nailed in his hands and his feet? How else can they place a crown on his head, crown of thorns on his head? How else can he go without drink? Are you here with me, somebody? To God be the glory for the things that he has done. Christ himself was willing to die on an old rugged cross, and you're not willing to die at the snack machine. Oh, no Oreos. Can that be to the glory of God? No. No chips. Can that be to the glory of God? My change is in the machine. Something's wrong here. Are y'all here with me? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Go back to HR and say, guess what? Y'all don't need a machine. God's working his glory out in me. You're not going to do that, are you? Call the car dealership. Guess what? This car don't work, but keep the money. I'll keep paying because it's to the glory of God. No, you're not. My son failed every single class y'all got in there. There's no good teachers whatsoever, but it's to the glory of God. Right? For we know that all things, right? You got to be in your seat every once in a while, right? What we should get, because we got to get out of here. What we should get as Christians is every once in a while during my Christian journey. Right? Huh? Sister Katie been traveling around the entire world. She's gone up. She's gone down. She's gone around. I think she's almost close to finding out just how far the East is from the West. No, I found their scent, Lord. But am I right? You can't get from Earth to heaven without some... I was on a flight, a DC-10, flying into North Carolina. Pilot comes over the microphone.
We're about to head into Charlotte. As we descend into Charlotte, we're going,
why is he always so calm? What is his problem?
As we descend into Charlotte, there's going to be some turbulence. Everyone, please return to your seats and fasten your...
As soon as he finished talking, the plane drops. I don't know how far it drops, but the guy in front of me probably knows because I grabbed his seat and I shoved it to the floor. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't get to heaven without some turbulence, guys. And so the next time you face turbulence in your life, and I don't know what your valley is like. I may never even see what your valley is like. Listen, my valley is so bad, other than being a pastor here at the Manassas Park New Covenant Fellowship Bible Church, I don't even want to see your turbulence. Amen. My turbulence is, I got some turbulence. My turbulence did. It goes sideways. Sometimes it spins, right, Sister Michelle? This isn't turbulence. What is, oh my God. Oh, Jesus. He never told us about this. Yet, for the grace of God, right? In regard to yours, right? There go I. God has been good to us. Listen, that's why we had to pray for each other. I don't know what you're going through, but I'll pray for you while you're in there. You want me to come in there? No, I'm not coming. I'll pray outside. But listen, guys. This is what the Word of God says. We need to go back there, right? For all things work, for we know that all things work. Right? We're going to leave. Believe me, y'all. Are we going to leave? No. Do you know that unemployment and joblessness are knit at the hip? So much so that you think unemployment is joblessness. No, it's not. They're just so intertwined at the hip. You just become consciously confused. Because a child of God is never unemployed. So you may not be professionally employed, but you've got a job. Don't let Satan tell you that. Oh, you don't have a job. Yes, I do. Right now, I'll cast you out in the name of Jesus. That's my job. I'm not unemployed. I'm on the job 24 hours a day. Bless his holy name. But Paul is saying here that all things work together. God has you as a believer hooked into a network. Of blessing, whereby everything in your life is knit into making you more like Jesus. Okay. Let's go home today and say, it's okay, because all these things are working together. Right? Ever listen to Sister Katie and Alejandro and Rachel, Zach and Stephen and Rebecca, Sister Marie and this fat ball guy on the end of this stage? Have you ever listened to what it's like to hear us working together? Sister Marie all by herself sound like a hot mess. Okay. Sister Marie all by herself sound great. Sister Katie probably spawned an angel somewhere back there, right? Me, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I'm there. But all things work together. My pastor said, one of my pastors, one of the greatest preachers that I've known in my life, Reverend Dr. David Albert Turk. He compared what God is doing in our lives to a toolbox. And Pastor Turk said this, and we are going to head home. Pastor Turk said this. He said, in your toolbox, you have multiple tools. And so if you imagine you left your toolbox all by all
on its own, there's a conversation, there's a congress of thought in your toolbox. The hammer would say to the saw, "Saw, what is wrong with you? All I ever hear you doing is..." And the saw would say, "Well, hammer, there's nothing wrong with my constant sawing. As a matter of fact, everything in here should be able to do what I do. All I ever hear you doing is tap, 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 tap." On down the line. But what happens when all these competing agendas, anointings, and abilities work together? God is building something in you. That's all I'm trying to say today, folks. He is playing a master orchestra in your life. He's decided already that the audience is the unwilling, unknowing, unloving, unworshipful world outside of the body. So he's decided to use the instruments that he's got to get who he wants. And here I am. No, I'm not a saw. Lord, just use me in the work that you're doing. All night. So that you can build for yourself the people that you want. And if I have to face trouble on the way, if I have to face you closing this toolbox, if I have to face the nighttime of that corner, if you don't touch me again, and rust begins to cover what I believe to be me, use me. Are you here with me, somebody? For your service. And if I should happen to be thrown on the floor, but I'm still in your arsenal, use me for your service. Are you here with me, somebody? If they break my handle off, I can still tap when you want me to tap. If I can no longer pull a nail and that's the turbulence that I've got to face on the way to being what you want me to be, use me. So I was wrong. These are not just pumps. These are God's tools. These are God's instruments. And if I'm a child of the king, I've got to let God use turbulence to make me who he wants. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you have faced in your life. I can't understand the difficulty of your turbulence. But I hope that you understand right now that if you've given your life to Jesus, you'll never be alone when the divine turbulence comes. Never. You can't escape him. He's
unshakable. He's immutable. He cannot be changed. He cannot be exhausted, outwitted. He knows all things. He can do all things. He can be where you are right now. He is God, and there is no other. There's no wood that can be fashioned. There is no song that can be sung that can fully encapsulate the God who he is. But if you want to be like him, you got to allow him to take up your burden of sin. You got to let it go. You got to confess it. The Bible has said this, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal, the Lord God is saying this. And as you confess your sin, God is faithful and he's just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Lord God has said this. If you say that you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. I know this to be true. If you come to him, he'll set you free. If you come to him, he'll make you see. Where there's no hope, he'll give you hope. Where there's sadness, he'll give you joy. He'll pick you up and he'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My response to this youth was, I came to him just as I was. I was 9 years old at Morris Brown AME Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 25th and Montgomery Avenue. I've said this to you before. I came to him just as I was. I remember it was Easter Sunday. Depending on my mom and my dad. But I decided no matter what anybody else did, I was going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior today. God is calling you. If you don't know him today, it's just as simple as this. And this may not be for you, but somebody will hear this recording. Somebody will leave out of this building today and said, I haven't confessed my sins. As a matter of thought, I thought I was just in a relationship with God because my grandmother went to New Covenant. I thought that I was saved just because I played the music on Sunday. I thought that I was saved because I'm an usher. I thought that I was saved because my uncles were there when they found the church, and I thought that I was saved. But today I yield. What must I do to be saved? The Bible says this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so the doors are wide open for you today. In order to see God, you must be holy and you gotta be right. If there's one, I love you. I love you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ today, just you can come on up here. Just ask somebody to pray with you. I love you, Lord, today because you care for me.
in such a special way. And so I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. Oh, my heart is filled with praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, again for this day. We thank you, God, for this preaching opportunity. God, we ask, God, that you gain the glory out of all that we do. And now, Lord, we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask, God, that you bless every single person in this house. We ask, God, for a multiplicity. God, we ask, God, for you to redouble, God, the efforts of saving us. God, do what you have to do to deliver us from sin. We love you and we thank you. We give your name the glory. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless y'all. Have a great day.